This week, the Rooster family suffered a great loss. Timothy Kent McDaniel passed away early Wednesday morning. Kent was one of our, not just one of our sound engineers, he was a member of this family. He was beloved in this community. We're all still reeling and dealing with the feelings and the loss. And we wanted to have a moment of silence up front this week in memorandum of Kent McDaniel.
Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
Like when tickets go on sale to a show, you have to go to the actual venue to get them for the first 7 to 10 days, then make them available online. If you can't get to the venue within a week, then you got to wait.
Or they could even block it, like they can't take, like set your computer up to buy it for you. No electronic buying.
They
like
can't
that.
Stop that. People are too crazy. Fucking smart.
That's
people
true.
Are too good.
There's no way to scan for it or whatever. But I go back and forth between like, because yes, fuck scalpers, but also fuck Eventbrite and Ticketmaster.
Oh my god.
You know,
like, Eventbrite's not that bad. They're I mean they're trying to compete.
Don't they own
with the
I thought Eventbrite owns Ticketmaster.
That I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not. I know Ticketmaster and Live Nation.
Maybe I'm thinking Live Nation.
That's probably the
thing. Eventbrite's one of the few independent.
Yeah, maybe that's.
See, people don't realize this. Live Nation Ticketmaster is a publicly traded company. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy stock in the stock market. They give no fucks about you. Mm-hmm. They do not care about any of us. And that's why they can get away with the shit. And, you know, lawmakers don't give a fuck. You know,
And people want to see their favorite bands, so they pay it. You know?
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Not
me.
Christy and I.
I'm sorry. When I said I was a cheap motherfucker, I mean it.
Flogging Molly was a Ticketmaster show. And I went to see it.
I mean, honestly, anything over $100 is kind of fucking stupid. Over $100.
Two tickets for over $100 for like basic anything is ridiculous.
The problem isn't the cost. Like, I'll pay $35, $50 to see Flogging Molly. But then they add the fucking $35 fee on top of it.
I think I put something on social last week. My daughter wants to go see this mm-hmm. artist. And the tickets were like $39.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. I paid $116 and change for two $39 tickets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is this?
You know, and months ago, Ticketmaster was charging the artist for their merch too. They were taking a percentage.
Oh yeah,
of that.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Honestly, you know what I think? I think that whole story was bullshit. Like that whole thing they put out about paying smaller artists, like giving them a, what was this, the headline? It was something about they were going to start giving them a stipend for like travel and stuff to play their venues. Does nobody remember this announcement? Mm-mm. It was like a couple months ago.
No.
Right. I feel like I might, but.
Yeah, supposedly Live Nation is going to start giving local artists and like regional artists more money.
Oh, yep.
And
no,
stuff
yep.
But I don't believe it. Like I don't. Not a single band I deal with has benefited from this. Like,
yeah.
Maybe you got to be signed to a label or so. I don't know. I don't know how that shit works. Like I said, you know, I love the free market. I think capitalism's a great system. I just hate how like you can't remove that human element of greed from capitalism. Like if you could remove greed from that equation, it's perfect.
Mm. That's a good way of putting
you know,
it.
If you can remove greed from it and educate your consumer, that's
heavily regulated capitalism.
It doesn't need to be regulated if people make informed decisions.
Yeah, you just write people.
But again, but that's trusting, like you said, it's trusting people, and you can't do that.
And you can't do it anymore. And it's just gotten so, the mushroom cloud is just it's too big. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, a lot of the reason why I opened this place was to kind of remove myself from that world.
Yeah. Of greed that just throws stuff away. Right. We're right back in that conversation again.
Oh man, dude, Pete, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, no problem.
Say hey to everybody.
Hi.
See, is it pronounced Ippolito or Ippolito?
It is. No, that's Ippolito.
Is that Greek?
No, it's Italian.
Italian. Oh, okay.
I usually give about two or three tries, and once they butcher it on the fourth, I'm like, you're done.
Pete has graciously stepped in today because he's going to be here on Friday with All You Pretty Things, True Lilith, and Patrick Mon. Pete, you may know him from the band Home for the Day. Talk to me a little bit about how you ended up getting on this bill to begin with. Like, do you know Pat?
No, I've actually never met him.
Okay.
So it's funny because we had just went through that stint where we had announced, we're not going to book anything until the 10-year. And, like, the same day he messages the band page, he's like, you guys want to play? And I'm like, oh. I'm like, man, I'll play acoustic. I have no problem going out there and doing some stuff myself. That way, it's still relevant. It's still fun. All the other guys have bands. I don't have time for another band. So it's fun to go out there with myself or one or two of the guys and kind of have fun with something instead of it being, super serious, tight, electric set.
So how did y'all come to the decision to, take this break, kind of set things up for – was it because of the 10-year thing or things just get too busy?
Things definitely get too busy. We've always swore that we would take some kind of month break and really reel things back in and put things back together, which initially that break was supposed to be last year when my wife and I had our daughter. We were going to take a break then. And 2 weeks after we announced that, and we had played the Brewstock in Lancaster, which was the last one, we're like, yeah, this is it, guys. You're not going to see us anymore. Like, a week later, we get a message from an emo night karaoke band. They're like, want to play the Fillmore? And we're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to say no. Nobody ever plays the Fillmore. Yeah. And so we played the Fillmore, and, then we knew we were going to come back in December anyway and do our Toys for Tots drive at the house. So, we kind of braked a little bit into my paternity leave. I think we did like two or three more shows and then we kind of held off and we released a new song. And even then, it was still, we did something, we did something, we did something.
You might be the only band I've ever known that is trying not to capitalize on the momentum and success that you received.
I'll say this, man, Slow and Steady has won the race for us every time, which is really gracious to be like that, because everyone has to push super hard and everyone's creating content and trying to push themselves out there and they don't get anywhere, and we sit on the couch and they're like, you want to play a film more? Like, it's a testament to the
sound, right? You guys have something good going on, people want to hear it.
I hope so. I mean, you invited me here to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about it. How did 10 years in, how did it start?
A mess. An actual mess, and I'm going to sound like an absolute dick for doing this. The band was originally called Just In Case, long, long time ago. I don't count myself as an original member because I was the last one on board. It's like they kind of had their vision and what they were going, and they needed a vocalist. And I remember them posting a video on Facebook, and I'm like, why does this sound familiar? And I'm like, oh my God, this is just Sugar We're Going Down. Jesus Christ, it's Sugar We're Going Down, which is actually our song, You Need People Like Me. We call that the brainwash song because everyone just knows it and they don't know the actual name. But I went to go try out and I kind of went to be a dick and I was like, I'm just going to sing Sugar We're Going Down over it. And before I could even get to it, they're like, oh, it's just a Sugar We're Going Down chords. And I'm like, fuck, they know.
I know exactly what they're doing.
So I don't know what happened. I went home after that practice. I wrote lyrics and here I am. That's how that originally started many, many moons ago.
Were you heavily influenced by that punk pop, era?
Not really. In all honesty, when I was, that middle school, high school kid kind of growing into it, if I listened to punk, it was Green Day, A Day to Remember, and Blink. That was my circle. Otherwise, I was super hard rock, Dad Rock. I was Avenged Sevenfold, Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace, Bullet for My Valentine. Like, you know, all
I
that
love
stuff.
All those bands.
Yeah. Super influenced by that. And I somehow ended up playing 10 years of pop punk.
Bullet for My Valentine was one of my favorite. They just exploded, man. Yeah.
They're good.
I remember the first time I heard them, some kid, like I was like already in my late 20s, and some kid played it. And some guy I worked with, and I was like, "What is this?"
Yeah,
and like, I fell in love with that band. But no, I mean, it's funny because punk pop had like this moment in the sun in like the mid 2000s where like it was just explosion, and then like you know it kind of went away, and it feels like it's coming back. It didn't exist before then, and you know how they say music is cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, everything kind of starts to come back to a specific sound. Mm-hmm. It's almost like punk pop has wedged its way into that cycle.
Yeah.
It's definitely coming back. There's a lot of artists that you see. There's so many punk bands like in the Charlotte area, huge amount. Then you have a couple sprinkled in the Greensboro area and the small towns like where we come from. Like
there's a lot in South Carolina too.
I actually don't know a lot about South Carolina punk bands.
Like Squirt Vile and stuff there.
Okay, yeah. When you get into that, those different variations.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really good music coming out of Greenville and Columbia, South Carolina. There's a lot of hardcore coming out of the beach areas, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, super, super
big. It's funny how, like, the beach, you wouldn't think the beach would be where the hardest, heaviest bands were from, but that's where they...
That's where they're coming from. I don't know. Charleston, a lot.
I guess for a couple months out of the year, you get hurricane season and it just pisses you off.
Yeah, they go through the gray season, and that's when all the writing comes out.
So the 10-year anniversary will be this year. You want to talk for a minute about your plans for that? Like drop a little bug in people's ear?
Yeah, no, I can do that. So, you know, we've took this break to actually write music, create content, because that's our biggest issue. I can't film a music video when I'm on tour. I can't, you know, record a song when I'm practicing for a show. It's really hard when everything was kind of consistent, especially when, you know, your drummer's in Seneca Burns and your guitarist is in Alpha Strain and your other guitarist is filling in for Come Clean and starting another band. And then I work on Brewstock and House Shows for Hope and Fusion Media Entertainment. And it's a big roller coaster of we can't do everything at once. And so for really starting this month onward, every month there is a new Home for the Day song dropping.
Okay.
That way, cool. You'll get, you know, song a month. Hopefully that racks up the Spotify algorithm that really just buries us in the ground. You guys will finally get a lot of taste of, you know, what we've been doing and what we've been hiding and kind of what's been in the works but hasn't been played. We're really excited. We think some of it's our best work because we can sit down and we can work on it. It's not like we release the song and then a month later, Nick writes a lead and we're like, why wasn't that there? So that's the first big build up. You know, I'm making these guest appearances where I will be here, you know, next week on Friday. We'll play a new song then that's kind of been played before, but when you kind of break it down, you can probably understand it better. And, you know, every month we're also announcing what bands are on the bill, and it's a pretty big historical lineup. You know, a lot of bands don't make 10 years. You know, if they do, they've really been around a while. And granted, we kind of take our first 5 years as the building blocks. We say that after that came all the momentum and success from where we've been.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is the saying? It takes 10 years to become an overnight success. That's pretty...
So September's it, baby. Yeah. but September is also our birth month. We always had, like, the band anniversary, and we would do fun things. So it's kind of ironic how everything kind of fit, where we could announce a band a month, and it would work. You know, we already announced that The Handoff is on it. We went to high school with them before they were called Mile 257, and they were the Blink Rip in high school. Multiple name changes later, they are what they are. But we grew up with them. We had our first split EP with them. They were the ones who first test runned our streams at the house. So they mean a lot to us. They're very good friends. I actually work with their guitarist. He's the other manager where I work. So our boss hates when we take off for shows at the same time because he knows he's two down. This month, I'll go ahead and say it now because I plan on announcing it in the next couple of days. But the next band that we're announcing is Heft.
Ooh.
before Heft, they were known as Shiva's Destruction, and they put us on our very first show.
Heft's great, man. I saw them for the first time several years ago down at Ground Zero, and I was really taken away. It was right when I had started like the process of getting this place going. Like, I hadn't bought the property yet or nothing, but I'd made the decision. I'd pulled the trigger to do this. And I talked to the guys after the show that night, and was like, you know,
they're great guys, absolutely great guys.
I'm gonna be opening this venue. I want to get you guys on, blah blah. And then fast forward like 2.5 years later, I sent them a message and never got a word back from them. They probably thought I was just some asshole. I don't think they remembered who I was. But AJ got them down here for the Headbangers Ball,
yeah.
And I talked to them there, and they're like, oh, yeah, that was you.
They're hard ones to get a hold of. No shade to Mikey at all. I'm actually surprised he messaged me the same day.
But yeah, I mean, that's exciting. It's going to be a big, big show. I mean, I don't want to say too much because announcements really hasn't been made yet. So let's shift gears and let's talk about Brew Stop for a minute. Because I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm wearing the Rooster Olympic shirt, so like...
I thought about wearing my Brew Stock shirt, but I repped me instead because I'm a douche.
So this year we have 5 festivals planned for the Rooster. We've permitted the parking lot, we've got our insurance, we've got our alcohol permits. We're doing, you know, 2 with the Headbangers. The April 13th, we're going to do the Bleeding Hearts Ball. Mm-hmm. And then we're working with Carolina Promotions for Carolina Vet Fest in May to mm-hmm. raise money for a veterans organization.
Which is awesome.
Yep, great, great, great people putting that together. Great band. He put together a hell of a lineup, I ain't going to lie. Impressed with what those guys were able to pull together for this festival. And then we're doing Rooster Olympics again on May 25th. And then the fourth one will be the 4th annual Brew Stop.
Yes,
right.
Our toddler.
Yeah, and then this will be in July 27th. This year I might actually pull the trigger on those water fans.
That was so hot
last year. They came in handy last year. I'm not kidding. It was hot. I have like 4 of them.
Absolute scorcher.
Some announcements have been made, so we're not going to get ahead of the announcements, but you want to talk a little bit about what's been announced and what people can expect?
Yeah.
Anything that might be different from last year?
So we're definitely not taking a different approach, but last year was a big, big leap for us.
Well, you went from... I'm stepping right on you. Sorry.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year was a big shift. Yeah, you moved your location. So, you know, I'm sure there was some uncertainty as to whether people would still show up if their venue's an hour and 20 minutes away from where it was before.
Yeah.
You know, we moved it. You know, we kind of changed the structure of it, you know, kind of went a little bit bigger with the stage and the sound and the lights and the indoor-outdoor thing. You know, so there was a lot of change in last year's. So we talked about this after, about how, you know, building up successful festival, you got to take baby steps. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everyone by this point knows the debacle that was Blue Ridge Rock Fest.
Yes.
And their biggest mistake among many was this hard line determination to be the biggest, you know, being able to say you had the most people was so important that they were willing to cut corners on very important infrastructure and what happens is you fail. Yeah. It was absolutely complete fucking failure. And so we talked a little bit about that after last Brew Stock, and like, you know, let's keep building on the success you're having, but take baby steps. So there won't be a whole lot of difference, but talk for a little bit about what people can expect.
So, you know, one of the first things is that Brew Stock used to be a 2-day event back when we had it at Lancaster. And before it was Brew Stock, it was Ravenfest, which was 2 days. We kept it 2 days the second year when it had turned into Brew Stock. And we kind of dumbed it down to, you know, 1 day to kind of backtrack and reel in. And again, kind of think about what we were doing and where we wanted to go. So then when we moved to the Rooster, you know, we brought back the 2 stages. It was 1 day. Which we weren't initially going to do the 2 stages, and then initially it went from that, well, if we're going to jump the gun on 2 stages, Nestor jumps the gun on a headliner. We brought in a Killer's Confession. So we had all of this, and we're like, all right, so what can we do next year to help improve? One of the biggest things I think you can notice is that now it's not necessarily a 2-day event, but we are going to host a pre-party the day before at the Rooster. We did announce that Sugar is headlining, which is going to be sick. Sid Super Stratton is on it. Water Culture is on it. Oh, You Pretty Things is on it, which, again, you can catch them next week here. I feel like I'm missing a band, and I'm going to hate myself. But when you have 23 bands and we're going through everything, Gone Cold is on that same day. That's it. Gone Cold, Oh, You Pretty Things, Sid Stratton, Water Culture, and Sugar's headlining. I think that's going to be a fantastic day. You know, tickets have already moved for that since December, which is awesome. It gave me that terrible Blue Ridge vibe, but I'm like, oh my God, people are already buying tickets. We haven't announced anything. But it's also, it's extremely humbling to know that you guys trust us enough and believe in this enough that you want to buy tickets for an event where you have no idea what's going on. So thank you guys so much for that. So we hope so far we've delivered with that pre-party. Again, as a reminder, that is something that will probably sell out before. So if you don't get a ticket now, definitely go ahead and get it, because that's not going to last like the, you know, main day will.
I'm really excited about the pre-party this year. Like, it's, you know, it's a baby step that we were able to take to expand on the festival, right? Mm-hmm. To make it a little bit bigger. But what I'm most excited about is seeing how many people that will be coming from out of town that'll be staying in Gastonia that night
to stay again.
To stay here. And it's basically, it's not going to be like a normal concert here. It's going to be like a house show. It's going to have like that basement party feel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's there's going to be a lot of like this weird energy about like we're here for this big festival, but it's the night before, and
it's like the Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You get to
open one present tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Tomorrow you get to open 20 more.
Yeah.
I feel like we should just camp out overnight.
I might have to.
I'm thinking about this. I'm like, I'm working the green room and the stage, and then, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time I passed out on this couch. but yeah, I mean, it's you know, for me and for you, basically for everyone in this room, it's a really long, hard day, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's so much
exhausting.
Like, I was actually thinking about this earlier this week. I was thinking about how, shit, I've lined up 5 festivals, and I thought about last year, how during Brewstock and during Roosh Olympics, I broke out the basketball shorts and the cutoff t-shirt.
Yeah, you did.
I had a towel in my pocket all day, and I just sweat my face off, just worked my ass off. There were moments where I got to sit down and like, or stand there and take in the performance and stuff. And there were a few performances I made a point to take a minute to go see. But it's such a different perspective. There's so much going on, mm-hmm. and you're there just is. Trying to, like, my main priority is everyone's safety.
Yeah.
You know, like what, are we, you know, is there anything I need to be looking out for? You know, staying on top of security, making sure people aren't trying to sneak in with, you know, weapons or anything like that. Like, it's a lot of work, but my God, how rewarding is it when you look out and you just see hundreds of people
just
with
hanging
huge
out,
smiles on their faces, laughing, carrying on, having a good time.
It's like that before and then during, like, you're like, oh my gosh, and you're worried about everything. And then, you know, as the day winds on, you get to look and go, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, once it's all over and I'm laid down in that hotel bed after, I'm like, man, we just did it again.
Yeah.
Watching y'all last year, y'all were just like, y'all were so tense. I felt so bad.
Every year, I tell everyone, come out so you can watch me be the biggest ball of stress you've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all over your face.
100%.
Yeah, I could see it like all the way from my
Well, we got a little, you know, pulled around last year. We had, you know, security people drop like day of and not show up, and people were coming in staggered. And, you know, when things don't flow the way they need to, we learned that 7 o'clock is not early enough to come set up the stage. So I think we're actually going to roll in at like 5 or 6 this year to get everything going.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone that's involved, like the volunteers, specifically the volunteers.
Absolutely.
The people that show up just because they want to help, they're not getting paid. We're feeding them.
That's
you're getting a free meal to, you know, help us work. And you know, look, say what you want about it, but we need that to keep building this. Like, the goal is to build it up to a point where we can make it an even bigger festival where everybody's making money and it's worth everyone's time. But in these early years, when you're starting this out, you know, it's a lot of sweat equity. You know, a lot of sweat equity goes into building these things. You know, unless, you know, sure, there's people that can bankroll big festivals and you get all the systems in place. But, you know, when you're grassrooting it, you know, you gotta build those relationships and you know, without the help from the people that volunteer for security, without the help from our staff and the people that jump in, you know, we don't get to pull these things off. So I want to make sure that everyone understands how much we appreciate those people.
So we can't do it without them. We can't do it without the people that show up to attend. We can't do it without the bands that are extremely patient with us.
I'm talking to you, Atticus. That motherfucker.
I love
him. He ran this shit last year. I was so proud of him. I was like, man, this dude.
We've worked hard, man. He does stuff with me back at the house too. I mean, he knows what he's doing. I love him to death.
Yeah, that's a solid motherfucker right there, man. I like Atticus a lot. It was like I didn't even have to worry about anything on the inside stage at all. Dude was just on it. So thank you,
Atticus. We got you.
Look, man, it's you know, when it's your place, it's liability, right?
Like, yeah,
something that you don't. And this is probably going to be the most boring part of the conversation, but for anyone listening, but you know, at the end of the day, it's my neck in the noose. Like, if anything fucks up, if anyone gets hurt,
yeah,
if anything bad goes, I'm the one that's going to suffer the consequences,
which is absolutely terrifying,
and it is terrifying. So, like, you know, that's where the most of the stress comes from. You know, it's like, you know, it's been nice to be able to enjoy it on some level, but like that doesn't go away until the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People are the same way. They're like, how come you don't charge for your house shows? I'm like, because I'm responsible then.
Yeah.
Like if somebody paid to come into my house to watch a band and they break their leg, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
And we were talking earlier about how homeless people are suing grocery stores for getting day-old food. That's the world we live in.
Yeah, because somebody has the opportunity to sue you, then more than likely they will.
We're built on baseball and suing people. I saw that from 6.5.
But I am excited, man. If you haven't got your tickets yet for the pre-party, get those. That's going to sell out.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? That'll sell out before the main deal. And now that you know we've announced it, I haven't kind of checked in on what the sales are, but I know Todd was saying that more tickets had already been sold for that specifically.
That's exciting.
So I'm really hyped. And you know, don't forget about the main day. I mean, we've already announced A Test of Throne. We've announced Dove Cage. You know, we have bands coming out from all over. I'm not going to get super into detail as you know we're rolling those. I will hint that the headliner has been booked. I will not say what it is on this. That'll be a separate secret conversation.
And Ariel, how's the Misfit market looking for this one?
Sorry, hold on. There's already some vendors that have signed up. I've definitely pushed people to Todd into the guys from Brewstock. As far as how many have actually, I know for a fact that there are some of our regular vendors who are doing it.
Yeah.
But I've passed on the information, and it's in their hands at that point.
Well, yeah, we have a great Misfit Market community. It was really nice last year. There were so many vendors that were just belonged there. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't seem like anyone was out of place.
No.
Yeah, no fish out of water, so to speak.
And I still think everyone had a good time as well.
Yeah.
But I think I could be wrong. I definitely know. I think we saved 18 main vendor spots that we were selling. I can definitely tell you a third of that's gone. I don't want to quite say half, but I mean those spots are getting taken up.
So if you are interested in becoming a vendor, I mean, we're going to have hundreds of people here.
Yeah.
Last year we had 500 people here.
Yep.
We're going to beat that this year.
It's going to happen. I mean, if I'm selling tickets in December and we're selling them, you know, as they keep going, it's just going to happen. So people will be here and they will notice you.
So yeah, if you're a vendor and you're on the fence, act now before you lose your chance. And then Bob, give us a little bit of perspective from the fan standpoint, because you and Jade, you know, you popped into the festival last year.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your experience as a fan.
So it was a really good time. I liked that there were two different things going on. Right, you had your option of this and that, and I forget the band that was playing. It's just three kids, and they were fantastic.
Was it Nail? Was Nailbite playing when you got
No,
there?
It was something about 7 foot.
Oh, Six Story Pyramid.
Okay. That's it. Yeah, they were beyond. Like I was mesmerized by them. But yeah, like the vendors were amazing. We got some good stuff. The food was amazing. Everything was great. And like you said, if it steps up another level this year, then like I think it's the way to go.
You can only get better.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right. Is that the end of the commercial? We should probably talk about the show this Friday. So, and the main reason why Pete's here, kind of, wink, wink.
he likes me for my body.
Now, I'm excited. This is a fun show. Yeah, Oh, You Pretty Things, it's no secret that they're one of our favorites. We love them. True Lilith, they're always a good time. They've got this whole snarky kind of punk vibe.
I love
that,
it.
It's spooky, that, spooky rock.
Yeah. Love those guys. Pete, do you know, is it you or are you or Patrick opening?
He said I am, which is totally fine. I have no problem with that. So, I mean, I know what I am right now. I'm solo me. I'm totally cool with it.
Well, I mean, you came to open mic a while back,
yeah.
And performed a few songs, and I was like, it made me feel good that you drove all the way out here to be at the open mic.
I mean, this is becoming a whole other home, man. Like, I'm here to support it.
Well, something you said that night really stuck with me. You told me you were like, I just needed to get. It was some variation of like, I needed to get in front of some people and play, and I wanted to do it here. You said something like that to me. It was kind of for you. It was just kind of like you were just saying something to me. But for me, when I heard it, I was like, "How sweet is that?" I love hearing those things. Like those are that's my kind of talk, right? Like you got something that needs to get out, you know. And I don't know. It was just a nice thought, and it kind of stuck with me. And it'll be fun to see you do a whole set. You know, are you going to be doing all Home for the Day songs or?
So it depends on who comes with me. If I'm alone, then I may pop out a cover or two. But if one of the guys does show up with me, then we'll probably kind of stick to a Home for the Day set.
Right on. So that'll be this Friday, the 16th of February.
Yeah.
Get your tickets online at the Rooster Gastonia /events. And stay tuned. You can link to Brewstock from our website as well to get tickets for Brewstock. And then the 10-year anniversary, we're hoping to host it if we can.
That's another thing why I'm here. We're going to talk about that.
So, yeah, and once we make that announcement, you know, we'll get links up and whatnot. But that's going to be a fun one too. I'm so humbled by like going from, you know, we did three last year. We did the Rooster Olympics, we did Brewstock, and we did the Headbangers Ball, mm-hmm. and to turn right around and add two more to that.
And this is just the first half of the year.
Yeah, and there's also a potential sixth event that we might do in the fall. It'll be a completely different genre. It'll be more we're talking like jazz soul.
Ooh.
Stuff. So I'm nothing's confirmed. This we're talking. Trying to figure out how.
Talk more.
Yeah. So, there's certain genres that like, you know, like most punk and rock and metal, like none of us are really doing it for the money. It's like, can we just get this shit paid for so we can?
Yeah,
we're all just figuring out. We're just trying. We're finding ways to throw expensive, elaborate parties. That's really all we're doing.
Especially the older gentlemen.
Like, at the end of the day, yeah. If we break even, everyone's happy. As long as we don't lose money, but. There's certain types of music where, like, you got to figure that shit out before you even set a date.
Because
there's certain artists, you know, artists are on certain levels where it's like, you know, they're not coming out here for charity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sadly. But, you know, that's just how it is.
I get that, man. I've unfortunately had a fair share of people where I'm like, hey, will you come play a charity show? And they're like, well, how much could we get? And I'm like, charity?
It's charity, dude. Yeah.
I'm like, what do you want from me?
You just get to have a good time.
I'm like, I'll spot you gas if you really want it.
I'll feed you.
Right. That's always it. I'll feed you.
You know what? But that goes a long way, especially for these touring bands. I get emails every single day from bands from all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting together a tour in the South, and they need a stop gap between... You know, Atlanta and DC or Atlanta and Raleigh or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, can we play like a Monday or Tuesday? And it's like, well, sure. I mean, there might be 12 people here. There's not much money.
Been there, done that, though.
And then they'll hit you back and be like, well, can you feed us? And I'm like, sure. Yes, I can feed you.
And yeah. That just, like, the mama in me just wants to, like, let's just bring something to cook them something really good.
Yeah, hot dogs.
I mean, the hot dogs are fantastic, but you know.
I got a spare room and two couches to sleep on.
As a touring band, that means everything, though. Like, we've had fantastic hospitality on the road, and that means so much to anybody, especially when, like, venue owners, you know, if a band isn't willing to help you on that bill or somebody isn't willing to throw you at somebody else. Like, when the actual owner is like, hey, come to my place. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I've opened my house up to two bands before that were on tour.
Yeah, I haven't had to do that yet, but I wouldn't hesitate. Yeah. You know, especially if it's like a relationship that we've been building. Yeah, we got a guy coming back this June or July who is from Minnesota. Remember Luke Hendrickson? Shout out, Luke. I hope you're watching. But he's a country artist.
Maybe.
And he tours most of the year. He's got a wife and kid at home, and that's how he provides for his family. And he did a Thursday night here last year. Super talented guy, wonderful show. There were like 8 people here, so there wasn't much money in it. But we started that relationship, and he's doing another tour this summer. I think he just wants to get out of Minnesota for a while.
I mean, what's in there? Just him? Yeah.
You said it. I didn't. I was thinking it.
but he hit me up this year, and now we've been here longer. More people are aware of us. So now we're going to bring him back, and I'm going to put him on stage with a local guy that's a good fit for him. Yeah. His name's Clint Lanford. Shout out, Clint. And it'll be a bigger show. It'll be a better show, and more people will be here. And it'll be, you know, like this dude gets it. Like he understood the first time. He knew he wasn't going to make any money. He just wanted to play mm-hmm. and start and build a relationship so that next year he could come back. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what's happening. So if he came to me and was like, can you get me a hotel room? I'm like, nah, but I got a spare bedroom.
Right.
You can crash here. Yeah, and I'm willing to do that. It's, you know, you get so many different attitudes from so many different bands, man. Like, you know, a lot of these touring bands, if I'm dealing with a promoter, those deals often fall through.
Yeah.
But when I'm dealing with a band directly, whether they're by themselves or whether they've got a package they're bringing, those deals usually seem to shake down a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more willing to bend, you know, a little bit on things if I'm dealing directly with the band. And I don't, you know, it's not that I have something against promoters. It's just there's like a communication breakdown.
Yeah,
that happens.
They're doing business. They're trying to make themselves look good. Where, you know, when we're booking shows ourselves, we're like, please.
yeah. There's like a humility that you get from dealing directly with the band that you don't get from promoters. Yeah. Yeah, I get, and that's probably exactly what it is.
Well, we've definitely had our fair share with, you know, Brewstock inquiries. You know, trying to get this headliner. We've had some real, real big, like, you asking a little bit too much.
Yeah,
and no shade. Again, it's their job. They've got to do what they got to do. But you know, we listen to some of these bands. We know some of these bands, and we know that, you know, it's not that you're not worth that, but your boy's asking too much.
Yeah. And for us, like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, God damn it, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you should get such and such here. You should get such and such here. You should get. Sometimes they'll throw a name at me and I'll go look up and I'll be like, okay, and I'll send them an email. But 9 times out of 10, I get some asshole emailing me back saying, we need this, 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 and this. And it's like, you know, we're in Gastonia. Like, we can hold 175 people. I'm not dropping 10 grand to get some big name here because I'm never going to make that back in one night. Yeah. Like, you know, we need a Brewstock to bring in that kind of revenue.
I'm working on it.
You know what I mean?
We're working on it, man.
So, like, yeah, but, you know, I've had this conversation with my wife. It's like, you know, if we ever were to do something like this again or if we wanted to replicate it in the future, 100% I would do it in a college town. I would never do this again in a small town.
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard to pull this off in a small town.
But you really got it going, man. I mean, I've played, you know, a couple different venues in Charlotte, and I've seen all the other ones. And the fact that you have 175 cap room, I mean, I feel like that's the only thing that rivals the Milestone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in the area.
Well, don't use that word because I love those guys and I don't want to rival with them. I'm not trying to.
You have the only other room in the area that can match theirs, which is fantastic to have because, you know, you can bring in more people.
Yeah.
You know, where they sell out last night and then people come to the Rooster and they're filling up the Rooster. I mean, it's just, it's a great handoff to have that kind of room and space because you can do so much more.
Yeah, I went up there about a month and a half ago to see a show and talk with Buck, and we had a nice long conversation.
I love Buck, man.
He's such a nice, humble guy, mm-hmm. and you know, I wanted to make sure he understood that I didn't see him as a competitor. Yeah. I was like, if anything, we're trying, you know, all I've done is kind of double your capacity to promote. you know, like promote shows and give more opportunity. You know, it's that's genuinely how I feel about it. You know, there's that's a 50-year history, man. I ain't fucking with that.
No, I mean they've got a massive legacy. You know, Buck's doing a great thing there. You're doing a great thing here.
Yeah, there's enough eardrums to go around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's enough people. Although I really would like to get Seneca Burns here. They sold that place out last night. I'd like to get him.
You'll get them.
September.
September. Yeah. Let's talk about September.
All right. Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
We suck. but...
And if you want to see how bad they suck, be here Friday.
Be here Friday to watch me fuck it up. No, but yeah, come out Friday. It's going to be a great night. If you do happen to like Home for the Day or you want to learn more about us, you know, we're everywhere. You know, we're dropping songs up until September. So, you know, get ready for that EPs, single, EP, album, whole bunch of fun. And you can catch us for a absolute grand SmackDown WWE Live return in September at, we're going to say, the Rooster.
Yes. Thanks again, Pete, for stepping in today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yep. That's this Friday, February 16th. All You Pretty Things, True Lilith, Patrick Mon, and Pete from Home for the Day. Get your tickets online, save a few bucks, and yeah, thanks for watching. Peace and love.